What would happen if you committed adultery? Pastor Dave Rolfe says it's good to count the costs beforehand.
What would it do to your relationship with your kids if you have kids? What would it do? How would this affect your future if you're divorced and families are split up and all the pain that comes from that? How about the people that you've told about Jesus? You know, the people that, even people who maybe you've led to the Lord, you've helped them to discover a relationship with the Lord. When they see you doing this, how does that affect it? How is it going to affect you economically? How does it affect the way, like I say, your kids looking at you, your friends and neighbors looking at you? What would you be doing to yourself if you allowed this to become what you slide into?
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Oftentimes, addicts and alcoholics in recovery are told to play the tape all the way through when they're thinking about drinking or using. That gets them to think about the consequences ahead of time. And really, it's a good idea to think about that related to all sin, including adultery. Today on The Balanced Word, spend some time with us as together we count the cost of adultery. And by the end of our time together, we hope and pray it'll serve to encourage you to stay far from it. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe in the Proverbs.
So then, beginning with verse 15, he's talking about relationships in a positive way. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? So here he's going, marriage and family is such a beautiful environment. It's a place that's designed to really, you know, help you to feel at home and help you to feel like things are right. And this is where your pleasure will be best, when you're living in a mutually trusting, you know, encouraging relationship. And he goes, do you realize what it is to break your home? Do you realize what it is to destroy the place where it will be, it's better than anything that you could ever have or experience? Now, I just have to say, there are some people who don't make their home that way, who don't create family in a way that goes, wow, it's so great to be together. You know, ideally, when you come home, at the end of the day, you should feel like it's so good to be home. And that's up to all of us to create that kind of an environment. But when you violate your commitments as a married partner, then what you're doing is you're destroying any possibility that your home, that your relationship, that your marriage is going to be something that's the best that it can be, that God has really designed for you. It ruins, it breaks a home, breaks a marriage, and ruins commitments. But then he says in verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. So he says, ultimately, not only is adultery something that destroys a marriage, but it destroys your relationship with God. Because when you commit yourself to someone else, you are saying, as God is your witness, we are committing to being together. And by the way, in a marriage vow, you're committing more than just saying, okay, God, we promise we're not going to sleep with anyone else. A lot of times we act like that's all the marriage vows say. But when you got married, you probably promised that you would accept each other, that you would love, comfort, honor, keep each other. These are the kinds of things that when a marriage breaks down, It kind of starts there. And when we stop loving, comforting, honoring, keeping each other, then it's only a matter of time before then you go, yeah, you also promised to keep only unto yourself that person as long as you both shall live. But it doesn't usually start there. That's kind of the natural flow of where it ends. But do you understand what it means to make a promise before God? Now, again, God doesn't think that when we make a promise, he's like, oh, man, if you break this promise, it's going to destroy me. Or he doesn't even say, I'm going to be done with you if you make this promise. But we have to understand, as Solomon says here, this has spiritual ramifications. This kind of a violation affects our relationship with God. It's why, you know, after David had committed adultery and murder, and in Psalm 51, as he had been confronted by his sin and he prayed for forgiveness, he knew, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Create in me a clean heart. He understood, and he said to God, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. I think there's no surprise that David was described by God as a man after God's heart. Because to David, it was all about his relationship with God. But he understood, when I violate human relationships, then I am affecting my connection with God. And that's the biggest deal of all. And I think sometimes we just don't think that, well, being at odds with God is that big of a deal. But it is the biggest deal. And Solomon understands that and says, you're doing this right in front of God. He knows what you're doing. He sees it. He perceives it. How can you live with violating something that is such a clear commitment that you've made while God's watching, while he is there with you? And ultimately, in verse 23, he shall die. It will kill you, ultimately, to have this violation. And then finally, he goes on in chapter 6 and in chapter 7. There are long sections on this, but one that I just wanted to point out to you finally is in chapter 6 and verse 32. He says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. You don't get it. He who does so destroys his own soul. Your soul, that's the deepest part of who you are. That's who you are at with everything else stripped away. It's like, do you understand that to violate those kinds of commitments that you've made before God, if you continue in that pattern, you lose your soul? You lose your sense of who you are? What a horrible thing it is to look in the mirror and go, I don't even know you. I'm not even sure who I am. You are designed, and I am designed, to live lives of integrity. That is who I am all the time. Not phony, I'm not living a double life and things like that. But to excuse and allow yourself to cheapen the thing that God gave us to really draw us together in a special way will ultimately not only make it unhealthy for you and cause people to lose respect for you and everything else, but ultimately you'll just lose your soul. You'll get to where you don't even have a conscience anymore, or you just go, integrity? I don't even know what that is. I don't understand that at all. I don't know who I am. And God is faithful in that your soul it's still there, but you're battling. And if you continue to just decide to do what God says is bad for you, that voice, that little voice inside, or that sense of, like, when all of a sudden you're in a beautiful place and you just see the beauty and you go, wow, this is so amazing, you will begin to lose more and more in touch, being in touch with that moment, those soulish, those psychologically psychic kind of experiences, because your soul is frittering away and you have stuffed what you feel and you have resisted the work of the Holy Spirit enough, But all of a sudden, maybe the worst thing of all, when you don't remain faithful to a marriage commitment, you start losing yourself. You start losing your own identity. It's not even possible for you to know who you are because you've gotten so used to compromise. So a bleak picture, certainly, for, I think you can see why bottom line is, yeah, we're against it. Because adultery has horrible consequences that come from it. I think it's important for us as we look over, you know, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Proverbs, for each of us who are married to count the cost. What would happen if I chose to commit adultery? I read an article years ago in Leadership Journal by a pastor who said about once a year he actually wrote down, if I violated my marriage by committing adultery, what would the consequences be? And he said, and I did this too, because I think it's a great exercise for everyone. What would it do to your relationship with your kids, if you have kids? What would it do? How would this affect your future if you're divorced and families are split up and all the pain that comes from that? How about the people that you've told about Jesus? You know, the people that, even people who maybe you've led to the Lord, you've helped them to discover a relationship with the Lord. When they see you doing this, how does that affect it? How is it going to affect you economically? How does it affect the way, like I say, your kids looking at you, your friends and neighbors looking at you? What would you be doing to yourself if you allowed this to become what you slide into? And I think it's really important for us to count the cost. Let's think ahead of time. It's much easier to be rational about something when you're not doing it than to try to put it all together and figuring out when you are into it. Now, for a lot of people, they might feel like it's too late. I've already done this. Everything you're saying, you're right. I did it. It was bad. It did that much damage and more. So, great. Now I feel worse. I was thankful on Thursday. On Sunday, you're just making me feel horrible and guilty. Good. No. But the real question is, so what do I do now? Because there isn't anything that we can do about the past. Some of the things that we've done in the past, we are continuing to suffer the consequences of, and that may continue. Sin just kind of does that. But the only reason for reading the Bible is to figure out what to do now. And I think there are some things that we can do now. For one thing, to just say, I'm not going to do that again. You know, maybe this is something that has destroyed your relationship. And now here you are. Okay, this is the time to be thinking, I will never again get involved in a relationship and then violate that commitment. I'm just not going to do it because I understand the damage. And if I have done this before, if somehow my marriage has survived, my spouse doesn't know or whatever, okay, that's it. I am not going to do it again. And that is, you know, that's what the Bible calls repentance. Change your mind. Just start going, no, I'm not going there. Not going to do it again. But also, it's really important to receive God's grace. It's really important to realize whatever has happened before now, if you have admitted it to God, then He has forgiven you. The Bible says He doesn't even remember it anymore. So for every one of us, life starts now. How am I going to live moving forward? And a part of that is letting go of what's behind, understanding, well, I sinned against God. So when I tell God that, my intention is I am clean and forgiven, and I'm going to stop beating myself up, and I'm going to stop beating up other people in my life who have done this. I'm going to quit doing this because I need God's grace as much as other people needs God's grace. So, I mean, I can tell you this. If you're in a relationship where somebody has violated those vows and now you're still trying to make it happen, it won't happen if you just continue to bring it up. if you just continue to, you know, every time, you know, there's something goes wrong, it's like, yeah, figures, you know, we all know what you did. That's one of the reasons why the Bible allows people to get a divorce after a violation of those marriage vows in that way, because some people just can't work past it. If you want to have a healthy life and a healthy relationship, you got to be able to move past it. You have to forgive. You need to receive forgiveness if there's any chance. God's grace is necessary for all of us, but it's especially necessary in this area in which it's a big deal to us. And then we need to find a way to move forward. Now, a lot of people are like, and I've been asked this question more times than I can count. Okay, I committed adultery. My wife doesn't know. My husband doesn't know. Do you think I should tell them? There's no simple answer to that. It probably depends on the nature of your relationship. I have a tendency to think before you go confess something that they don't know, you need to pray about it good and hard as to whether that's a good idea. Because I have found with a lot of people, they want to tell their partner just so that they'll feel better. That's a cruel thing to do, to dump it on somebody who wouldn't know otherwise. I like what David prayed in Psalm 51. God, against you and you only have I done this sin. It doesn't mean that David didn't sin against Uriah, for instance, or David's other wives. But what it means is he realized this is mainly a spiritual thing. So I just think it's wise to really seek the Lord before you go dump something on somebody else. Instead, you focus your attention on, this is never going to happen again. I realize the devastation. God has been gracious. Maybe I haven't experienced all the consequences that I could have had. But move forward, whatever it takes to do that. Again, David was a man after God's heart. David was a guy that in the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus, describing himself as the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, he brags about the fact that he's related to David. So there is life and forgiveness and grace following adultery, and in his case, even murder. So there is no sin that is like, that's it. That defines you, and you are always going to be that person. Maybe in some people's minds, not in God's mind. And it's so important. We can't talk about something like this without also addressing the fact that Jesus Christ died so that we could be forgiven of everything wrong that we've ever done. And he looks at our sins and he just sees them as sins. They're just things that do damage. Some things may do more damage than other things, but ultimately, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's something that we need to do. It's sort of interesting that in the Bible, adultery, the word is almost used more describing spiritual adultery as it is actual physical adultery. Because to God, what people do when they are unfaithful to him after everything he's done for them, to him, that's like. It's analogous to people who violate a marriage commitment and go off and do that with somebody else who's then violating their marriage commitment as well. The truth is, you know, you could be sitting here and I could very smugly, and I could say, I've never committed adultery. But that doesn't make me feel like I'm better than other people, because the truth is, I've been guilty of spiritual adultery many times where my relationship with God just isn't enough, where I feel like I am bummed because he isn't doing what I want him to do, or I can get so busy that I'm not always spending the time with him that I should. I can easily neglect my relationship with the Lord, and I don't feel guilty about it usually. Because, like, he's so cool. He's always there. He's, you know, it's good to know I have him when I need him. But spiritually, the reason why God even invented husband, wife, two becoming one flesh, whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The whole purpose for that commitment that he asks us to make in a human relationship is to make a picture of the relationship that he wants to have with us personally. And so I would be remiss if I'm talking to you about the importance of keeping marital vows and I didn't tell you that there's something 100 million times more important than that, and that is to be right with God, to appreciate your relationship with him, to devote time and energy to it, to have that be the center of your heart. Now, maybe there are people listening who have never even made a commitment to be forgiven and to be accepted into God's family, to enter a relationship of commitment with him. If you haven't done it, I hope you will today. It's really an important thing to do. You're on the outside looking in otherwise. But there are many of us who we would say, yeah, I'm in a relationship with God. And yet the truth is, we are cheating on him. We are not giving him his due. We're not listening to what he has to say. We are not having our lives change and conform according to what he says. We don't enjoy being with him. We can be off somewhere beautiful, and we don't even think about making a connection between God and that experience. And for some of us, this would be a good time to just say, I need to renew my vows to God. I need to be closer to him in the coming year. You're not going to be perfect. None of us are. We never will be until we get to heaven. But if we would just say, you know what? I have taken what God has done for me for granted, and I want to stop that. I want to start appreciating who he is. I want to start spending more quality time with him, reading his word, talking to him, going off somewhere alone where I see something beautiful and I go, God, I'm so glad that I'm getting to see this with you. I'm so glad that you are here. I strongly urge you. He is so committed to you. For you to then commit yourself to him, whether for the first time or just a strengthening of that commitment, that would be the best thing you could ever do. And then what that does is, the more of a connection you have with God, the easier it is for you to have human relationships and connections with others as well. When there is a distance between you and God, there's going to be a distance between you and people. It's just the way it works. So I would strongly urge you today, if this discussion has made you feel guilty about something, confess it to God. Receive his forgiveness. You tell him you're guilty, and he tells you you're forgiven. That simple. But let this run a little deeper to our connection with God, and let's be right in our connection to him so that we are more capable of then connecting to others as well.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we go.
Lord, thank you for your love for us, for your commitment to us, and unlike humans, you will forgive whatever we do and start fresh because you understand that your son paid for that. Thank you for your grace and forgiveness. Teach us to be people who are healthy, people for whom our word is our bond, people who maintain faithful connections with the other people in our lives, with those that we are committed to, bound by vows, but more than that, Help us to stay faithful to you and who you are. Lord, there's so much for which we are thankful, but we understand you want us to have better lives. So teach us to obey you and to discover the glory and the beauty of living lives of total integrity and honesty. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is there truth in the old adage, what goes around comes around? We'll see what the Proverbs have to say about that next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.